Well, I first began by reading everything that had been written and, everything that had been published on the war and on the occupation of North Korea and South Korea after World War II. And then I had the good fortune to get some research grants to go to the Soviet Union, or what used to be the Soviet Union. Well, it was still the Soviet Union on my first trip. I arrived there in the for the fall of 1991, of all times. So I know I got there 2 weeks after the end of the coup against Gorbachev, and then stayed until 2 days after the Soviet Union was dissolved in December. So it was an amazing time. By the end of that stay, I got permission to work in the Foreign Ministry archive on their materials on Korea. Then I went back the following summer and stayed for the whole year, and began working as well in the Central Committee of the Communist Party archive. Then I also later got access to the Ministry of Defense archive, and then later than that, got an important body of high-level documents from the Presidential Archive, which is in the Kremlin, sometimes called the Kremlin Archive. So it's quite a range of archival sources. The Foreign Ministry is like any foreign ministry. They had people communicating directly to the embassy in Pyongyang, but also, even before that embassy was set up, before North Korea was a state, they were doing all of their, reporting from North Korea on what was happening. But also, North Korea was completely dependent on the Soviet Union as it was created, like South Korea was on the United States. And so the leadership in North Korea was sending requests for everything under the sun. And so you would see those, and then the responses. You would see records of conversations with North Korean leaders. You would see records of what gets sent to North Korea. I mean, it's a very extensive body of records. The party records were rather different, Communist Party records. There's a special, or was, a special department for interaction with foreign communists. It was called the International Department of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, and they were responsible for all interactions with foreign communists. And that was really interesting because those were the people who were in charge of making sure the North Korean Communist Party was doing the right thing. So they would edit speeches, that Kim Il-sung would give. They drafted the constitution for North Korea and all the laws for North Korea, and monitored any time a North Korean party member would come to the Soviet Union. There would be, detailed reports on what they did at every moment. And so that's a particular angle. Then the highest level decision making, which is probably, I think, what I use the most in the presentations here, is what came out of the Presidential Archive. So these are largely telegrams. It's useful for us that Stalin was not picking up the phone, and talking to Mao, but instead they were sending telegrams. So that's great, because we have we have paper records. Same with Kim Il-sung. So the communications on the communist side are mostly through ciphered telegram, and so we have those records, and that's quite a wonderful source. On top of that, Presidential Archive also includes some records of conversations. Anytime there's a high-level conversation, somebody is there, making a transcript of it, or at least a summary of it, and sending it in and putting it in the files. Military records are gigantic. The project I'm working with at Korea University is focusing especially on the military records in the Ministry of Defense archive. So that project is rather at the beginning of working with those materials. They are enormous. I mean, such a gigantic military bureaucracy, and so it will take some time to sort through all of that. But I was able, back in the 90s, to get some things from Ministry of Defense archives that were very useful, such as the order for the deployment of Soviet Air Force units in the Korean War. That was in that archive. So it's a range of sources. One thing I found is that to understand the meaning of some of the higher level things, you really need to have waded through a lot of the lower level things, right, to get an understanding of the context. So it's very slow and very painstaking work.